I want to see what does it look like when a community with intent creates opportunities and lowers barriers so that military members, as they're transitioning into civilian life, can become entrepreneurs. Because entrepreneurship and small business is the engine of any economy.
Welcome to the Veterans Voice, presented by USAA. Veterans Voice is a service of Mount Carmel Veterans Service Center, originated from the Optum Podcast Studios, in partnership with podcast channel sponsors, Medicare mentors, technology partner, Colorado Computer Support, and supporting partner, Wirenut Home Services.
Welcome to a special edition of the Veterans Voice. I'm Ted Robertson, veteran entrepreneur and author, social and nonprofit leader, author of Military Money, How to Thrive on a Government Salary. Trevor Nolan, you touch so many different veteran lives in so many ways. And we're going to talk about the organizations you're a part of, the work that you're doing in the veteran community to help, how you're helping people to manage their money. And you'll hear the word thrive in connection with how to survive on a government salary, for example. A little tease about your book.
Well, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Let's talk about your becoming a member of the military, what branch, the journey from there all the way to the chair you're sitting in right now.
Well, thanks so much again for having me. My story is a lot like folks in the military. You know, I come from a military family. Many in my family have served. None of them made it a career. I'm the first one that made it a career. And so I retired after 21 years, active duty United States Air Force, and I retired here in Colorado Springs in 2019. Got to see the world, and I got to meet a lot of great friends and mentors along the way. And in this chapter of my life, now that I've taken off the uniform for the last time, is really just to meet veterans and the active duty military where they are and arm them with everything they have, everything that I can to make them successful.
And you're doing an awful lot in your world. And again, those are things that we will talk about. But somewhere along the line, something inspired you. Was there a defining moment?
Well, my family have inspired a servant's heart in me for sure. And watching them and their amazing examples in so many different portions of government or even within their own communities, it was hard not to just make that part of my personal fabric and my personal calling. I think a lot of active duty, when they go to transition to becoming a civilian for the first time, they flippantly say, I'm not sure what I want to be when I grow up, but I will say now, having lived that life over the last 14, 16 months, it's really kind of a call for help more than anything. And as I'm meeting and now helping veterans transition, you know, you're in the military through your late teens, 20s, and 30s, and in some case 40s and beyond. This is when you're learning how to be an adult. This is when you're learning how to deal with society around you, and in many cases, the world around you as a frontline representative of our nation. And so I would say that there's just such a unique and special need, and I hope, you know, every day I wake up, that's my mission, right? How do I get the folks still in uniform and those that are taking off the uniform what they need in order to be successful?
You're the VP of a local philanthropic organization that serves and supports veterans and the community, people in need. You're a PhD student. In the middle of that, you have a business where you work with other veterans. You get them plugged into business ownership and the entrepreneurial lifestyle and get them going. These are folks who are prepared to enter into business ownership, and it's a business that feeds what they want to do.
Right. So that's lifestyle design. And when I'm working with veterans or folks that are getting ready to transition, I tell them, you know, in the lingo of the military, you got to look at the target and then you got to walk back, because that's how you're going to break this thing into small enough chunks to digest. And you don't just want to trade your military uniform for a duty title in someone else's company. And that's okay if you want to do that. But, you know, when you wake up on day one of being an adult civilian, you should have more on your calendar than just an 8-to-5 with a paycheck that is going to be enough for you. My whole goal through really everything I'm doing in town and around the state is allow people to understand fulfillment and what that really means. Because when you leave the military, there's a huge vacuum, right? That calling, that, you know, it's not a job. The military is not a job, right? It is a calling. It is something we are called to do. And with that comes sacrifice, but it also comes a lot of personal identity. When those things are taken away from you, there's a large vacuum left. And so I want people to understand what they're going to do in 24 hours of that first day when they are an adult civilian. And it looks different for everyone, but everyone's going to want that feeling of fulfillment. And I'll tell you, it's not in money. You can, if you could live on active duty and do it well for as long as you did it, well, then there's something else you're going to have to go find in order to feel fulfilled again, you know, in that part of your life. And so I help people try to understand what that is. And, you know, through things like this book, this first offering of a series of books aimed at our active duty, I want money to not be a barrier to that future fulfillment for them.
You have a connection to the Salvation Army.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm the vice chairman of the El Paso County, which is our county here in Colorado Springs, of the Salvation Army. And when I was looking to put my military service away and become a civilian, I knew that there would be this vacuum, and I wanted to create a charity portion of my life and be deliberate about it, not just, you know, the one-offs maybe on a Thanksgiving or on a Christmas day. I really wanted to get my hands into this community. And this is where I want to live for the rest of my life. You know, I want to raise a family here. So when I'm doing these things, you need to be sure that you're bringing everyone along. And in order to, you know, try to cut down on the divide between those that have and those that have not, I was drawn to the Salvation Army and the mission of the Salvation Army. And what I didn't realize at the time was that it's, you know, the largest, if not one of the largest in our city. It's been around since the beginning of our city. You know, I think 1889 was when they started here in Colorado Springs. And of course, they shift their goals based on what is needed in our town. And right now, that's really focused on two things: veteran homelessness and family homelessness. And those are often the two silent homelessnesses. These are, especially on the family side, these are people that are living in their car. They're hiding from something quite often. And that's, there's trauma involved. They quite often have many young children. And so, you know, yesterday I was at the ribbon cutting with Mayor-elect Yemi, and we cut the ribbon on a refactored homeless shelter for our family and for our veterans. And you know, that's still like, that's where my heart is, right? So when I found out that one out of every 15 people in Colorado Springs have come to the Salvation Army for some type of aid, I was like, well, then this is where I need to go. I need to go where the need is. And when I realized, you know, just how close we are with the Veterans Administration and how we are not just providing shelter and clothing, you know, and food, we are actually working social programs to reintegrate our military members, are, you know, our comrades back into society. And so this is my second year on the board and my first year in executive leadership there. And I'm just really proud of what we're doing. And I'm just so excited with the partnerships that we have with other nonprofits like Mount Carmel Veteran Services Center, like the Colorado Springs Rescue Mission. You know, their whole leadership team was on the ground with us yesterday, with the Colorado Springs Chamber and EDC. And there's just, this town has such a charitable heart, which is another reason why I was drawn to retire here in Colorado Springs. And, you know, as we reformatted our shelter, we worked with Colorado Springs Rescue Mission so that there was a landing spot for all the single men, the low barrier single men and single women. And that, you know, when a community comes like this together, there's no competition in this, in the nonprofit space here. There is only heart. And we have so many people that have like that strategic mind, a lot of retired military, but also a lot of retired corporate business owners that understand, let's allow this money to work everywhere it needs to work. There does not need to be any competition. And that's just been just a great organization to be a part of.
And an outgrowth of the work that you're doing at Salvation Army is the construction of a building. Mm-hmm. Talk about that.
So in next year, 2024, we will start a capital campaign for what will become either a 60 or 90 door apartment complex that will be specifically for veterans and families. And in that, you know, we will need childcare. We will need teaching kitchens. We will need all of the amenities so that these folks can go and reintegrate and take jobs, and with the goal that that is a transitional space into permanent housing within the Colorado Springs area. It's going to be a big lift, right? It's going to be very expensive to do that, probably in, you know, double digit millions of dollars, maybe 30, 50 million dollars, depending on if we do the 60 or the 90 units. But I'll tell you, you know, we just opened, yesterday was the official opening of our RJ Hope Center, Family Hope Center downtown, and it's already full, right? 31 families are in there, and we have a large family that's, you know, kind of already outgrowing kind of what we've done there. But no, the need is there. It's unfortunate that we need these things, but it is so great that we are in a community that is so willing to retool itself over and over to go to the place of need so that there is not such a big gap between those that have and those that have not. I'm not an economist, but I think there's a lot of concern with where the economy is going. And I would just say that the working poor, you know, our community and our entire economy relies on the working poor to make everything in this community work. And so when we can all reach together, reach out for our fellow citizens, we're doing a good thing for everyone.
The work that you do that feeds your soul is the work that helps heal other souls.
I love that.
You never stop feeding your mind either. Let's talk a little bit about your PhD studies.
Well, so just starting out, and I will tell you, after working in industry for my first year as a civilian, I knew that my counterparts all had these initials behind their name. And so I wanted to know more about it. And, you know, I've worked in highly technical fields where many of them are data scientists or advanced engineers. And not just that, they are leading in their field. They are allowing the United States at large to compete with, you know, across the globe with competitive partners, primarily in defense. That's my background, obviously. But I was drawn to that level of research, that quest for knowledge that, you know, my mom really taught me. Learning never stops, right? She went to law school in her 40s. And so I said, okay, well, let me put my GI Bill, one of our greatest benefits as veterans, to work. And I want to continue to learn. I want to research and I want to influence this community in that way. And so I was pulled to the Daniels College of Business at the University of Denver, a tier one research institution right here in our backyard. And they took a chance on me. I'll tell you, I was never an academic. I was a C student at best, and probably, they weren't on the fridge. Let's just say that. But I will tell you, they took a chance on me. And in my research proposal for entrance into the program, I said, you know what? I want to match all of these things. I want to see what does it look like when a community with intent creates opportunities and lowers barriers so that military members, as they're transitioning into civilian life, can become entrepreneurs. Because entrepreneurship and small business is the engine of any economy. And there are already studies that have proven that the characteristics, the behavioral characteristics, and the psychology behind military service will already give you a leg up over your contemporaries that have no military service. But we've never connected the two. Well, what if we incentivize folks like that? Because I'll tell you, sometimes they don't have the credit to go get an SBA loan. Often they don't have the years of experience in that industry, but they do bring a lot to the table, right? They can lead, they can be dynamic, they can take risk, and they can fail forward. So working with, you know, the newly established VBOC here at Mount Carmel Veteran Services Center, I just met the director, right? That's fantastic. We can create an engine where we can get somebody from uniform to solvency and success within our business community. And that's a community that I am ready to double down on. And I want to bring my entire network, and I want to bring, you know, all of that. And if it takes me 3 years and a 50 or 100-page paper to do it, then that's an easy sacrifice. And it's a lot better than some of the other sacrifices that I've probably shouldered along the way. So I'm just excited for the opportunity, and I'm thankful to the leadership at Daniels for taking a chance on me.
You just have such a great way of framing things and keeping them in perspective.
Thanks.
It's 3 years and 150 or 50 pages, and I'm good, and I get to go do the mission I want to do, but I'm armed with more knowledge now than I ever had. That's the feeding your mind part. And so now, let's combine all this stuff together, that heart you have for service, everything you learned from being in the service, your desire to serve, support, and help, and lift up veterans has led you to form your own publishing company.
Yeah, that's right. So Military Might Publishing, here's a shameless plug, militarymightpublishing.com, or on Instagram or Facebook, you know, all of them. But and honestly, you're going to see this theme kind of maybe take over the conversation a little bit, is I take risk. And I fail. And that's okay. I learn from them and I move on. And in some cases, I'm unwilling to fail at the same thing twice because that's insanity. And in this case, I had a book deal, thought I had a book deal for a series of books aimed at the active duty military, their spouses, and their kids to bring them up. And so they can have every opportunity to be successful while they're on active duty and then in their life following. And I paid another publisher in name, but not in accreditation, a large sum of money to help me get there. Well, the person kind of took my money and ran. And so, you know, life lesson. Luckily, I was in a position where it didn't hurt too bad. It always hurts, right? It hurts your pride more than anything else. You know, there's always more money out there. And so rather than trying it again, I said, how hard is this? Is there already a publishing company that meets this need? And there are some, but I had never heard of them before, especially as I was looking everywhere to try to do this. So I said, well, let me start at the education part and work back into a publishing company. So working with the Independent Book Publishers Association of America, you know, taking a bunch of classes, bringing on some pros that I trust. And rather than investing in someone else to take my dream to that next level, you never lose when you invest in yourself. And so by investing, you know, in myself and in my team, we've created a publishing company. And we're going to put out a series of books, two this year and probably dozens next year. I mean, we're going to scale very, very quickly with this mission in mind. And so, yeah, did I have to learn a lot about publishing? Did I realize that it was an industry? You know, I thought you just type on Microsoft Word and upload it to Amazon and people buy it. I was wrong. It takes a lot. It's a huge business apparatus. But I think we have our arms wrapped around it now. And, you know, even just yesterday, we were approached to publish a large number of books with the intent of not just working specifically with military and the veteran community, but also with diversity, inclusivity, and equality. And so it's just so exciting that now we've created a brand that people trust. And they want that publisher on the, you know, on their book cover. And I just think that's so cool. The other cool thing is, you know, we're not charging anybody for this. I got taken for a ride so that nobody else has to. We are building, you know, basically a standard operating procedure on how you get not just your book published and your story told, but then get it in the hands of the folks that you want it to be. And that comes through things I'm a little bit more familiar with. Algorithms, you know, search engine optimization, you know, all of that type of thing, and networking. And really, that's what it is. It remains to be seen how solvent a free model is for publishing. And so we're going to look to partner with some other folks so that we can really help those people that need it.
And as we go through this discussion, we're going to present a partnership opportunity to do certain things with the book we're now going to talk about for veterans. You want to get that book in the hands of veterans. You never want them to have to pay for it. In order to do that, you're going to invite people to partner with you to help fund that. Not only that, in the Military Might Publishing operation, which takes in a veteran who wants to write a book and does not charge that veteran.
I hope that this book, this first book, has impact, but I hope all of the books have impact.
So let's talk about military money, how to thrive on a government salary. And your wonderful managing partner at Military Might, Joanne, sent me a very nice summary of the book. I've just gotten it in my hands myself, so I'm confessing that I have not read it. but I can already tell it's going to have an impact on people's lives. And the way she describes this is as a witty and engaging guide that addresses a wide range of financial topics specific to military service members, while it remains applicable to a broader audience. So these are concepts that people can apply to becoming financially literate and then successful. You're just presenting it in the context of that person being active duty military.
That's exactly right. And to take that one step further, it's so they learn lessons from my failures. Almost every chapter starts with some bonehead move a very financially illiterate, much younger Trevor, took. And although it's meant to be funny, they're all real stories, I mean, they're just, in some cases, miserable. Like, I showed up to my first day on active duty with a very fast Japanese motorcycle, only to find out at tech school that I was going to get stationed very close to the North Pole and could not take a vehicle, let alone a Japanese sport bike, right? And so these are just terrible decisions I made, not just to my credit. And, at that point, I was having parents co-sign on loans. And, and did I learn my lesson? No. Then there's a second story about, after I went through a separation of finding one of my vehicles abandoned at an international border. And rather than going to collect it, I just let the bank take care of it. Well, then that didn't really help my credit anymore either. I mean, but these are things that other military folks are going through. And I'll tell you, if you're a proud person like I am, I wasn't reaching out to my coworkers to tell them how bad I was a mess up. I was just shouldering it, grin and bear and show up on time and make sure you pass your PT test and your shot group is tight, right? And that's all I was doing. I was so motivated on being successful in the military. I was failing myself financially for a very, very, very long time. And through mentorship and I just had some great folks that I was stationed with along the way, some people that took interest in me. I was like, man, I need to collect these wins that came on the back end and just give this to everyone. And it is pretty military specific, right? It talks about all the constant moves. It talks about, do you buy something that is a higher quality item so that you don't have to rebuy it so many times versus buying something that's a little bit more disposable because there's a high likelihood the movers are going to break it. Each of these is really focused at that military member where they are. Again, my whole goal, meet you where you are and try to give you the cheat codes, right? I think I even say in here, I cheated off of people's homework to be successful pretty much my whole life. Here's my homework and my graded homework. You can see where I did very poorly. And now go do what works. Go do the things that are going to work for you.
All right. And that leads us to the culmination of this discussion, Trevor. You're listening to Trevor Nolan, author of Military Money, How to Thrive on a Government Salary. We're going to be able to meet you in person on May 31st. Talk about your event.
Yeah. So we're going to be at a local restaurant here in Colorado Springs called Mi Mexico from 3:30 to 6:30 next Wednesday, the 31st of May. So the last day of May. And I'll be talking about financial literacy directly to some of our military members and some of our veterans. And I'm also sharing the stage with someone it's really representing food security, which is a big issue in my heart as well. There's a big issue with our active duty military and food security, especially if you have kids young. So those will be the two topics of the day, but don't worry, it's not going to be a downer, right? This is going to be a fun day. I love Mexican food. I'm half Mexican. And so we are going to go there and we're going to have tacos and some margaritas and maybe, whatever. And it's going to be fun and it's going to be an open and transparent conversation with the complete intent of getting this book into the hands of as many people as it can help. I am being sponsored by a local broker, Haley. She's in the real estate game and she sells a lot of houses right near Fort Carson. So her client list will be there. And she has sponsored the first 30 books. And so, like we're talking about partnerships. So if you're one of the first 30 people that show up, you will get a book. And I promise I will put my best handwriting in it that will be legible. And I will write you something, a personalized message and sign your book. And all I want is the best for you. So I hope that you can share the day with us. But even if you can't, please contact me again, militarymightpublishing.com or my website, trevorcnolan.com. And we will get this. I'll find a way to get this book in your hands.
Oh, that's a wonderful thing, Trevor. Again, spend an afternoon with Trevor Nolan, author of Military Money, How to Thrive on a Government Salary, this coming Wednesday, May 31, at from 3:30 to 6:30 p.m. at Mi Mexico Restaurant at 3956 North Academy. That's 3956 North Academy. All of this information is going to be available in this podcast post as well as at veteransvoice.us. That's veteransvoice.us. The first 30 of you that join the signing will receive a free copy of the book. And then on the backside of that, Trevor will find a way, hopefully with a partnership. Folks will step up in the community and work with Trevor to fund these books so that he can put them in the hands of veterans to help make their financial lives and them healthy and well and have a bright future. You want to partner with somebody like Trevor to help him do that. What's the way for people to reach you directly, Trevor?
So go to militarymightpublishing.com. There's a link that will get you in email contact with our team. And if you were so inclined to say, hey, I'd love to buy 5, 10, 15 or more of these books, we will work with you directly and we'll get this book in the hands of our local. And remember, we have 5 military bases here in Colorado Springs. You know, we're about to graduate the senior class at the Air Force Academy. This would be a great tool for them to take to their first duty station, just as it would at the, you know, 4th Infantry Division at Fort Carson, as it would at U.S. Space Force, both at Peterson Space Force Base and Schriever Space Force Base. Please, if you have it in your heart to throw a couple dollars, this will make our military and our veterans money. So please
absolutely.
Do.
Absolutely. And that is that's the thing, is to make them stable financially because they've learned how to do it the right way and have a little fun along the way with this read, a series of little kind of disaster stories that led to this one big success that you're listening to now in the person of Trevor Nolan. Trevor, author of Military Money, How to Thrive on a Government Salary. Spend the afternoon with Trevor, Wednesday, May 31, 3:30 to 6:30 at Mi Mexico Restaurant, 3956 North Academy Boulevard. And the web address one more time, Trevor, and then final thoughts.
MilitaryMightPublishing.com. And my final thoughts are, if you have a story to tell, please get on the website. We will publish your book and we need your stories. There is so much media these days. And I will tell you that if you have the heart to help military spouses, military kids, military members, and you want to get something published, please reach out and we will make it happen. And that is, I mean, it's 100% guarantee.
And Trevor Nolan, veteran entrepreneur and author, social and nonprofit leader, author of Military Money, How to Thrive on a Government Salary. I can't wait to have you back and talk some more about this and hear more about the afternoon with you on the 31st. See how that went.
Thank you so much, Ted. Thanks to you, to Veterans Voice, and to Mount Carmel Veterans Services Center, not just for today, but for everything you do for our veterans.
Thank you, Trevor, for your service and everything you're doing as well. I'm Ted Roberts, and you've been listening to a special edition of Veterans Voice featuring Trevor Nolan, author of Military Money, How to Thrive on a Government Salary. Veterans Voice, presented by USAA, comes to you from the Optum Podcast Studio here on the campus of Mount Carmel Veterans Service Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. We've had so many wonderful conversations, just like this one with Trevor, and they are all available anytime at veteransvoice.us. That's veteransvoice.us.